So now we're going to sit again. In this sit, we are going to go into the first of the subtle bodies. So we will be doing that. And we'll see what happens after that to see how this goes. So just for a moment, move yourself around. Stand up for a moment if you want to, just like. You know, the idea of meditation is that it's fun. It's an adventure. It doesn't always go well, but see, adventures are adventures. They don't always go well. Vacations, you always want them to go well because really they're restcations, you know, because we're wanting to get that rest and renewal. But an adventure, you're having an adventure and you're going to gain from the adventure. And sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't. So having clarity about practice sometimes helps with that. I once made a mistake of how I'd gone to the forest refuge and this particular teacher, the monastic teacher had was doing interviews with each of us and asked me about my practice in this. And at one point said, I've never had that experience, but if I've had that experience, that's all I would do, would be cultivating to get back to that experience. And I said, oh, I never practice that way. I said, you get me started on trying to get somewhere. Then what I'm going to do is just get determined. I just stay available. I just stay available. I do not try to, I never try to do something like that. It just, you know, I come from a background of making things happen, and the practice is totally not making things happen, just being available. And the monastic said, well, if it were me, that's what I would do. So I went back up to my room, and then I was going, well, what if he's right? You know, maybe this is just me being cowardly or me being whatever, you know? So I said, okay, then I'm going to try this. 1 month of my life, I tried that kind of practice. We could have taken all of those minutes, those precious moments, to get to a whole month to practice, put them in the fireplace and burn them up all at once. Not going to just gone on. Got nowhere. Nowhere at all. Nowhere. It was, I tried to find this way and that way of that grasping kind of practice, that determination. Nowhere. I was moving against my nature. And this was my decision that I made that, by the way, not the person that was the teacher was doing, was saying from his, the way they do it, the way that they do their practice, which is completely different. And that's okay. But I've tried, and what I got out of that was the faith in my own practice and the realization that I can't get into this achieving mode for me, that's not the part of me that's open to the Dhamma. It's not open to the Dhamma. It's narrowing down to get somewhere. And I've been reasonably effective at that in the world, you know. But I just learned. And so you can have, from the point of view of judging and comparing and fixing, completely wasted retreat. From the larger point of view of now you know, very valuable retreat. From the point of view that not contracting and or going up and not carrying around with me, just letting it go, letting that month go, very valuable retreat. So what's good fortune and bad fortune? What's a good retreat and not a good retreat? What's a good sit and not a good sit? Maybe we can let all that go and just find our way back to whatever seems naturally to work for us, naturally arising. And again, no complaint about that teacher. Just wasn't, there was an offering that wasn't right for me. And in my way, I stuck with it rather than I could have recognized after a week and let it go. But once I got determined to see if this could work, then that same determination that helps me in my natural arising, because I can stick with things, I paid the price. I paid the price. And over the arc of a practice, you see, it fit in beautifully in the arc of a practice. But if I carried it around, if I had a storyline about how that month got wasted in a rah, 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 complaining way, then it's some burden that's in the way. I'm caught in my judging and comparing, you know, and my reaction to not fixing it. Do you see the difference? I'm sharing this for you to feel how, you know, you dance with life. You dance with your practice. You dance with your own nature. You're not in all that judging, comparing, and fixing. It sticks you in a box somewhere. Anyway, here we are. Arriving. Pausing to reflect as we touch into arriving, this pause that allows us to collect ourselves, to catch up with ourselves, to remember what's most important to us. We are arriving. It's wholesome motivation. So we catch up with that wholesome motivation. We are authentic. We're sincere. We're not trying to be the most of something or to grab something or to take possession. It's just our sincere interest, our sincere commitment in being able to choose non-suffering over suffering. It's so modest, so modest. There is this natural arising humility as we start to arrive. We're arriving outside the gates of the Dhamma with no expectations, no demand, no sense of entitlement. We're just arriving, arriving. We are comfortable. We're not in a reactive mind state because we are grounded by our inner innate humility that allows us, our inner innate dignity, our inner innate dignity that allows us to go to the gate and bow and sit and wait. And that is practice right there. We're arriving with this humility, with this inner dignity, natural humility, innate dignity, inner dignity. And we are arriving with the sila of integrity that is taking the form of as best I am able. As best I am able has integrity that is being chosen by us because we are sincere. We are being authentic. We're authentic to ourselves. We're speaking from our hearts. Our hearts are available for the Dhamma to arise as it will arise. And that's what we're practicing. We're not practicing results that it's going to happen this way or that way. But no, this bow, and it's satisfying that we're aligned. Thus, right here, pausing to feel how satisfying this arriving is. You're arriving. You're arriving in your own sincerity, your own authenticity, your own deep values. You know, even that is enough. Even that. May understanding arise. May availability be available. May aligning occur. It's a bow. The claiming is so modest and yet so powerful. It's a practicing claim. The ego is present, but it's not in charge in that moment. It's a little off to the side. Arriving. Mindfulness front and center, mindfulness all the surround. We are being mindful so we can be within the experience, both experiencing it and observing it simultaneously. So we know the experience from within the experience, which allows us to gain wisdom and have a heart experience within any experience. Arriving, mindfulness front and center, all around. This energetic of this, feel it now. You, just as you are, arriving. This innate worth, this innate dignity, just is available right there when we're out of our own way. By our sincerity, our authenticity, our integrity. Yes, the mind's going to fall into judging and comparing and fixing, and we're going to let it go. That we can have integrity about. We can't say there's not going to be any judging. That's just ridiculous. That selfing of judging, the selfing of comparison, that need to fix, it's going to occur. But we have choice to let it go. And we know that we are in integrity with that, as best we're able. But we're not fooling ourselves. We are sincere. And so it truly is as best we're able. And we start to feel being present. That we're present for this moment. Right now. Recognize. This is being present. Mindfulness is present. Mindfulness is imbuing this moment. So that there is knowing the moment in the moment. And this present becomes one present after another until there is presence. This feeling of the knowing presence. This heartfelt knowing presence. As best it can be. In this moment, as best it's able. Sometimes being feebly present in this way is deeper, stronger practice than when we're really super present, because we're persisting on faith and we're building faith and patience and persistence. So beautiful. And we feel available. We feel available outside our storyline. We are available to life. We are available to the Dharma. We are available to our practice. So we are willing to stand under the moment, whatever the moment's bringing, from outside, from inside, from the outer experience, the inner experience. As best we're able, we're not taking ownership. We're not taking birth in dukkha or sukha. And we know what choice is. And so we are keen to recognize, we're alert to have recognition of choice. Choice is like this. This choice through availability brings us deeper into being present, more into simply being here rather than in a story, in an interpretation, heart more present. And there comes the realization, without needing explanation, this feeling that's natural to align, a kind of confirmation, a kind of commitment, a kind of equipping ourselves to practice. And so we align. What do you automatically align to in this moment? For myself, it's aspiration. This, I interpret the wise view for myself as wise aspiration as a practitioner. I'm really feeling that, the sincerity of my aspiration. So it protects, it inspires, there's a little uplift feeling. Sometimes the aligning warms the heart. Sometimes it creates some space in the brain. Sometimes the body gets like it's, where did all of this aliveness come from? And we are knowing aliveness through just the aligning. And aligning feels like this. And then we make deliberately the connection. It is a mindful putting ourselves inside this mind state of available and aligned. We're inside it, utilizing our mindfulness. It's not an out idea out there, but it's a felt sense within. We're inside it. This mind state is collected and unified. Automatically, it's naturally arising, collected and unified. We're just witnessing what is. We're not doing anything. Available and aligned. We can relax. There's a softening in the front. Heart softening, gaze softening, belly open and softened for intuition. And in the back there is backbone, determination, willingness and ability to stand under. A commitment to cultivating choice without any grasping, hardening. The sincerity of our commitment of liberating the mind heart strengthens backbone, claiming our place. the one seat. Inward staying, not our storyline, not our movie of us practicing Dhamma, but this moment, this eternal moment of being the practitioner as an active, an action, a being, active being, empty of selfing. Again, you're welcome to stay here for the sit as we turn to the body and knowing the body. This embodied awareness, knowing itself through physical body consciousness, feeling the earth element, resting the earth element on earth, physical sense of this place, actually imagine it, inviting it to happen. The second ground of the stillness, relative stillness of the earth element, having us know in relation to objects that we can be grounded, that there is within this fathom-long body this awareness that is still, steady, and quiet. And we open to the wind element that's there in the body, utilizing, just as we utilize the earth element for wisdom, for direct experience, we're now utilizing the wind element for direct experience of knowing the felt sense, just like in the earth, the felt sense of movement. And we will utilize this felt sense all through when we move to the consciousness that is the vital consciousness aspect of our consciousness. The felt sense of the breath, receiving the breath, not doing the breathing, but receiving the breath, staying with that felt sense. The mind is now adjusting to an ever-changing object and still having that clarity of knowing, natural clarity of knowing the ever-changing moment. The knowing is not moving with the moving of the breath. It's steady, stable, quiet. Breath is being known. And then the deliberate reflection, inquiry, what is movement? And we drop into the knowing of energy. This vital body consciousness, so sensitive that it can directly know energy. The energy is felt in the physical body by physical body consciousness, but this recognition, this kind of mindfulness, is a refined addition to just the felt sense physically. We can feel it as life force. We We are aware of our own life force. We are in the middle. We're inside the life force with this particular capacity of consciousness. It's emanating into the physical and the emotional thought, but it is its own knowing. In reality of this one consciousness, this is a means of deeper understanding. We're not breaking apart that which is integrated. We can feel our own aliveness as an object in itself. And it has a degree of awakening in us. It wakes us up. It wakes us up to the manifest level of our experience, the physical and the emotional thought, and just the aliveness. Steady, steady, energized. And we know that we can turn now to recognizing the capacity of consciousness that registers emotions and thoughts. It's an oceanic capacity. It's there, able to receive any emotion, any thought. Each emotion, each thought, causing little waves within this vast ocean. Sometimes small waves, sometimes large waves, sometimes storms in the ocean, sometimes whirlpools, all in each, all coming and going. Thoughts generating emotions, emotions generating thoughts. This is the way manifest consciousness is happening. It's lawful. We learn to distinguish between reactive thoughts and emotions and responsive thoughts and emotions. But we're not condemning anything. We're receiving it all. And then within choice, our wisdom and our heart quality of compassion separates, soothes. It's natural. It's naturally arising, this wise relationship. The discerning mind is present in this integrated of the physical consciousness and the vital consciousness and the emotional thought consciousness. The discerning mind receives it all, without judging and comparing and fixing, but is oriented towards a wise relationship. And we know this. We have recognized it because we've deliberately cultivated the experiencing of it. And so we are oriented. We are available in an oriented way, thus the alignment. We know our priority, and we're not dismissing this aliveness at all, but rather we're awakening it to a Dharma perspective, this manifest level. So satisfying, even a little touch of it. Just you got a brief glimpse, just for a moment there, it was on your lips, ringing in your ears. Easily satisfied. Hint of a hint. Available and aligned. Inward staying. And in this inward staying, in this calm, we again bring our attention to the vital body, to this consciousness that can know the energy without story. This aliveness that simply is a prior to any story we have. And we realize that there's a subtle aspect to this consciousness that's more refined than this manifest. It's just energy. We can feel the energy that's larger than what's manifest in this manifest realm of vital, physical body, and emotion thought. May the etheric body be known. May etheric consciousness be known. May etheric consciousness be known. May the etheric consciousness be felt. This body of consciousness, the etheric body of consciousness, this capacity we call a body, this dimension we call a body, because body is somehow, for some people, helps imagine it to gain access to it. May the etheric dimension of consciousness be known. You may experience, oh, I'm feeling something subtle. It's subtle energy. I just don't know if it's whatever you're calling etheric. That subtle feeling is enough. Don't strive, don't grasp after. You can feel the subtlety. It's really here. It makes me smile sometimes when I feel this. It's like, oh, I've dropped in, I've plugged in. Something has bloomed. Subtle energy. And again, it will register in the physical body. It's registering everywhere. All the manifests, physical, emotional, thought-wise, vital. But it's its own thing also. One consciousness, but these independent, interrelated dimensions. May the subtle body be known. May the etheric body within the subtle level be known. You may feel it as this very refined but endless energy. It's like you're plugged into the 220 or something. It's just this very, very refined, subtle energy. Sometimes you have in meditation, there were people have this thing of an egg shape. The egg is this subtle body, this body of etheric body. We're in that. And now we're sitting within it with our mindfulness, our being available and aligned. This energy. We each have our own unique experience each time. This energy can resonate in its vitality, as physicality, as emotion and thought, electricity of consciousness is being felt in all three. The subtle body, the source of this electricity of consciousness, this etheric body, etheric be known. Sometimes it's felt as space, endless space. Just this vast, immeasurable space. And everything's contained within this space, all of the manifest. Sometimes the sense of the space and the energy are there together. So this energetic space, empty and yet alive with the energy. Here the subtle prana is, the chakras are the acupuncture points. Here knowing is, that knowing is larger than would seem possible. This ability to connect, to know that, which there's no reason we know, intuition. The capacity of knowing. All the physical body, all the emotional body and thought, all lit up. Capable of being known from right here at the etheric body. Relaxed, attention please, relaxed, spacious. Keep your attention broad, wise attention in this experience. Naturally arising, settling into this aspect of our consciousness, naturally. It's naturally available. We're not concocting something and then trying to find it. We're finding the experience and knowing the experience from within the experience. Therefore, the recognition is a naturally arising recognition that is of a felt sense nature. For those of you who have an established meditation practice, I suspect that you've been utilizing this aspect of consciousness many times, that you have fallen into, dropped into, wandered into this, and had access. It just didn't have a name. There's a well-being that's felt, this dimension of consciousness. Once you feel it, you can then, in your walk and practice, you're still in it and so forth. Very regular that it happens. Act as though, trust what your experience is it, because that's what you're recognizing as your experience. Don't look for some idea about it that you have. No ideas, just the felt sense here and now. Still staying inward. Outward going would be to have thoughts about this and wanting to imagine telling your friends about it or all of that. No, inward staying with this as the object. This heart quality that we have, this capacity for it, is in this subtle dimension of consciousness, of the etheric body consciousness. You can maybe feel its presence a bit. Just a hint. You don't have to hold your breath. It will stay without you holding your breath. Your breath may become much more alive. Relaxed attention, softening into this experience. Relaxed attention. When people sit for 2 and 3 hours at a time without any effort, so often they're sitting right here. It naturally arose for them. Your physical body may be really reflecting it, and yet you can feel that it's coming from this accessing the etheric body consciousness. Nothing's happening. You're available for it to happen, but nothing particular is happening. This is part of practice also. Receiving, accepting that, that's the way we deepen. Presence and absence are both valuable. It's the directing of attention that we're responsible for, not what happens. Before the bell rings, I ask, I request that you ground yourself back in the earth element. You may stay in this mind space, but balance it, please, with the earth element, and let the breath connect between those two. So, earth element resting on earth. Some of you may wish to stay for the first part of the lunch period and know this deeply, more deeply.